Blog Talk Radio.
Exciting episode of Dubwise Talk. I am Judah Ra, your host, and I am so elated to have as my very special guest Sister Mariska Phillips. She is a Broadway actress and a very accomplished director, and she also is a thespian. But before we bring her on, I'd like you to hear this message from Unan Imports.
Greetings, Aquaba. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bags made of kente cloth and knit Rastafarian tapestry carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Hunan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Hunan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Hunan. You'll be glad you did.
And we are black. We are black with the accomplished actress Mariska Phillips. How are you, beloved?
I'm good. How are you, Judah? Mr. Judah, excuse me. I'm doing well. I'm on my end trying to stay hydrated. I'm so busy that I'm like, I drink water all day, so I'm just sipping on a glass of ice water right now.
Oh, okay. And I would assume you are a water sign, no doubt.
Actually, I'm an air sign, Gemini.
Oh, my God. That's why you're so beautiful. It is my observation that the most beautiful, attractive people on the planet, no matter what race, they're Geminis. They're just pretty people.
I think there's a youthful, jovial kind of texture to Geminis.
Yes, I agree. Go on.
No, I'm listening.
I was just going to say that my mother is a Gemini, and she's 89, and she is yet youthful, and she's just a very attractive lady. And her pictures from when she was a young lady, she was just a stunning woman. So and then I began to observe Geminis, and they're just pretty people.
Thank you. On behalf of all the Geminis listening and that I know that we know in the world.
Yes, indeed. Now, what is so pressing to me, beloved, is your name, Mariska. Please tell us where that came from.
My mother, she's also a performer. You may know her. Her name is Sandra Reese Phillips. She played Miss Powers in Lean On Me, the film Lean On Me. She was the music teacher.
Oh, my.
She changed the school song and all of that business, and she got to sing Lean On Me in the school auditorium and everything.
Yes. Oh, my.
Right. So, so that's my mom. And when she was in high school, they did a play called The Tsar of Russia. And the Tsar's daughter was Princess Mariska, and that's where she found it.
I kind of thought it was Russian, and I didn't want to say, but it is a beautiful name. It is unique, and it stands out.
You.
So welcome again to our show. Tell
Thank
us,
you.
Mariska, where were you born?
Brooklyn, New York, Fort Greene.
Lot
I'm a native
of talent.
New Yorker.
Yeah, a lot of talent there in Brooklyn.
Yes, I agree. And it's becoming more and more artsy now. It's the artists are really finding a niche, even in Bushwick and Bed-Stuy, Restoration area near the Billie Holiday Theater. So, yeah, it's coming up in the artistic world.
So the African-American who's ever been to New York, of course they would find your place where you're performing. And where do you normally perform and do your work at?
Actually, I don't have a theater home right now. I rent space right in the Midtown area. That's where I hold my classes and workshops.
Okay.
And when I do showcases, most recently I've been doing them at the Triad Theater, which is located on 72nd Street off of Broadway. There I rent as well. So, you know, I'm in search. This is a big mission of mine, is to find a home for all of the productions that I would like to bring to the world in 2016.
Well, we definitely will assist you in our prayers and our energy to help you accomplish your goals, because the world needs more positive input, and I am so sure that you will definitely be a compliment to the world.
Thank you.
Tell us about your early life growing up in your home. What was art like in your home? You already indicated that your mother is a royal actress. What else was going on in your home art-wise?
Well, you know, there was always music around. She was a recording artist before she started doing theater. She says, there's a running joke in the house that I was in a womb full of influence, because she was in the recording studio, while she was pregnant with me. And so it started while I was in the womb, just absorbing sounds and her voice singing. When I was 8, I realized I can sing. And she started teaching me songs and bringing me into the studio with her, singing background. And that further developed into me opening her shows, like, all over the world, Paris, Germany, on cruise ships, and singing background for her as well. I've been performing since 8 and professionally since 13. I'm what you would call a backstage baby, in that she booked a national tour. She took me out of school, hired a tutor that traveled with us, and I grew up backstage watching people rehearse and learn the show. And I was in the corner after my studies. I'd come in the rehearsal room and try to learn the dances, and the choreographer started noticing me. And once I got old enough, they were like, let's put her in the show. And I was like, yay. So by the time I was 13, I was actually touring Europe in a musical entitled Raisin. Yeah, and Raisin is the musical version of A Raisin in the Sun.
Yes. That seems to be so much fun for you. It seems like a child's desire to be able to be immersed in art as you were. I'm so impressed with that. Your mother was very, very, very powerful woman. Is she still with us?
Yes, thank God. Yes, she is.
And her name again?
Sandra Reeves Phillips, R-E-A-V-E-S hyphen Phillips.
Sandra, Miss Phillips, we want to thank you for producing such a beautiful soul, and we give thanks, Goddess.
I must say, thank you so much, and I must say the apple did not fall far from the tree, because she is such a beautifully spirited woman, and a lot of me is from her, a whole lot.
That is impressive. Yeah. That is so impressive. Most children, if they get into arts, they have to do it on their own volition, such as I did. My mother nor my father were artists, although my mother sang every day. She's in the church, so she did all of her singing all day long, especially when she was cooking. My father was not a singer at all, but and my mother used to bang on the piano. So we grew up with a family piano, which actually was like a family member of ours, and that's where I learned.
That's awesome.
For real, yeah. So since you never had no other energy to do anything other than being an artist, how has that enhanced your life, and how has it restricted you somewhat?
The enhancement of my life is that I think imagination is more powerful than anything. I think that this is our strongest tool that God has given us to imagine and to create beyond, because that takes you beyond boundaries. And as an artist, you really get to, you know, you can read and discover things, and then if you're so inclined, you can take a part of that world that you've discovered and bring it to your world in form of poetry, in the form of a monologue, a play, a song. And so this is how, and it's made me very aware of my surroundings. I get inspiration from all sorts of things and images that some person may just walk by and not think anything of it. I look at the facades of buildings. I look at trees. It's just, I can't read enough. It's like I walk into a bookstore and I get like, oh, I'll never have the time to read all of this, you know. It's like all of this stuff, and I get so excited and around books, and I have a great collection of books myself. So that's how being an artist has enhanced my life. And then, of course, turning it into teaching and coaching actors, giving back in that sort of way, being in service to the artist. This is really this is my greatest love to date, because being a performer is also, you know, I was sharing with the audience and, you know, it was gratifying and they appreciated what I did, but the art of sharing the knowledge that I've accumulated since I was 8 to now, and sharing that and seeing the students or the artists' eyes light up when they get it, and then they take it out into the world, like, that's my legacy. My actors are my legacy. So this is how the arts have enhanced my world. How has it hindered me in that I must admit to being a workhorse? I can categorize myself as a workaholic at times. Uh-huh. I'm up late, burning the midnight oil, studying, researching, because when someone asks me to do something, I lend my whole spirit to it, and that means I have to do the research, I have to make sure it's authentic, I have to find the right actors, and I'll stay up late doing my work. And a lot of times I don't get to do social things, and my friends, who are still my friends, I have longtime friends, and sometimes they get frustrated with me. A lot, most of the time they understand. Sometimes they're just like, ah, all right, fine, work. So that's, I would say that would be the toughest part, when I sequester myself and really submerge into what I'm doing artistically. No, you can't. You can't pull me away from that. Because once I decide to do something, it's 210% or I don't do it.
Yeah. So it seems that you feed, it seems to nourish your soul while working. Is that right or not?
It keeps me young.
It
keeps me fed.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
You know, the Geminis that I've met and observed, they have a youthful, as you said earlier, they have a youthful disposition all the time. And it is infectious, and I have to be around them. But then, I'm being a Taurus. Geminis can drive me crazy, because my mom, she can have not two personalities, but sometimes three and four and five.
Right.
And they're all vying. They're all vying for space in the conversation. yes, indeed. Now, tell me, what was the first time that you witnessed a performance that resonated in your soul?
Oh, this is good. I would have to say, you know, my mother took me to see Dreamgirls for my sweet 16 birthday, but it was actually, that moved me. But right before that, I think I was about 11 or 12, and she took me to see Cheryl Lee Ralph in the show she was starring with Oba Babatunde called Babylon. And when I saw her, that's when I was like, oh, man, I want to do that. She really inspired me. And, yeah, and I had been a part of it all my life, but seeing her up there, I was like, oh, like, that's what it is. You know, that was a moment in a young girl's life where I connected to this beautiful leading lady, dark like me, you know, and just, you know, carrying the whole show. And I was like, she inspired me.
That's a great aha moment.
Yeah, and what's really cool, I got the opportunity to tell her some time ago that she inspired me to do this. And she was like, oh. And, you know, the interesting thing is that her and my mom are friends. And after that show, my mother drove her home, and I was just in the car, like, looking at her like, wow. she's in my car.
So all the time you've been with your mother, it was more like a casual because you were so familiar with her. But when you saw this other actress, it resonated with you in a different way, huh?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it surely did. And even before seeing Shirley Ralph, I'd seen some awesome performers live because of the shows my mother did, like Nell Carter. I met her because my mother was her understudy in Miss Moffat. Betty Davis was the star of Miss Moffat, so I got to be backstage with her, running around with her backstage and looking at her on stage. I don't know if you remember this actress, Marion Ramsey. She was in it. Dorian Harewood was one of the leading men. So it was like, I'd seen great.
Yes, at an early age. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to reading your book when you do write it, because I know that's imminent.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I started writing a book for actors, for the spiritual actor, but I haven't started writing my memoirs.
Tell us about the book that you wrote, The Spiritual Acting. That is very enticing to hear. What was that about?
No, I'm still writing it. I've outlined 22 chapters. I'm up to the fifth chapter, and it's for the spiritual actor that has faith and believes that they're in service, and it's not a self-gratifying craft that we're in, that we're here to share something and to touch the consciousness of the recipient and to give them a new insight and maybe help them lose judgment on certain things and certain situations. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't know what's behind the curtain of a person's life. And you could walk around and judge someone all day long but not know what they go through once they're in their closed doors. So I like to, you know, inform actors that this should be spirit-led. You should be in service and know that you're serving a higher purpose than just getting out there, whitening your teeth, having a great haircut, and standing on stage or on a set giving speaking lines. It's more than that to me.
I feel the same way. In fact, I recently had a conversation with a sister from Ethiopia, and she was lamenting that she didn't know what she wanted to do. She's a very young sister. I guess she must have been 20 or is 20, and she was lamenting that she didn't know what she wanted to do with her life. And she says she likes singing. So I says, well, why don't you sing? She says, because I'm scared. And I says, well, you have to get rid of the fear. You can get rid of the fear by finding a love for your audience and loving them so much that you want to share that you have something for them of value. And she saw that point. So I assume that she's peddling off with that inspiration.
I hope so.
I do too. I do too, beloved. Let's get back to the books that you talked about. What books would you recommend for burgeoning actors and actresses?
Okay. Well, the first book I have to endorse is by my one-time mentor, Susan Batson. Her book is called Truth.
Mm.
I worked under her for 9 years, and she's the reason, like, she gave me my first shot at teaching. I just expressed to her I'd love to teach one day, and she's like, stick around, kiddo. So 4 years later, 4 years later, she gave me a shot, and she said, you're great. So that book I would recommend, The Respect for Acting by Uta Hagen, I would recommend. The Actor Prepares by Stanislavski. I would also recommend. There's also a very interesting book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, and it's a spiritual unlocking of creativity. So it's like a 12-week workbook for a new artist to unlock their creativity and their spirit through these exercises, and giving them permission and to express themselves and tools, and that's a great, also a great book for the beginning actor.
Wow. Well, I hope people who listen to this show will take notes and check those publications out, because we need to do more reading, and it's a shortcut to where you want to go by reading, I feel.
What do you mean? How do you say that? What do you mean?
Well, if you don't read, then you have to do a lot of experiencing, both positive and negative, before you get to where you want to go. But if you read the book, the author will have already experienced those things, and they can point out the things to avoid.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I must let me just counteract that with a statement. Because reading is great, and, you know, when you can absorb knowledge and people who have lived it and done it and have been teaching, that's great too. But the doing of it is really what makes you a master.
Ah.
And there's a saying that it takes 10,000 hours to master a craft. And that could be the craft of martial arts. It could be the craft of of painting, of art,
yes.
Any forms of art. You need to be active. It's not enough to sit and read the knowledge. You have to be on your feet doing.
Ah, I see. Well, I learned something today.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely learned something.
I don't believe in shortcuts.
Ah, okay. I'll have to take a note of that. Yeah, I definitely will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a very delightful conversation with the one and the only and the beautifully talented and beautiful, I might add, Mariska Phillips. She is a Broadway actress and an accomplished director. And at this time, we're going to take a small break. But before we break, I'm going to tell you that we are brought to you by Lalibela's Ethiopian restaurant located at 1525 Ashland Avenue, and they have the most sumptuous dining. I'm sorry, 5631 Ashland Avenue. They have the most sumptuous dining you would love. You would love to eat there. The decorum is absolutely impeccable. The service is impeccable. And the host is Samson and his lovely wife, Heru. And you will have a delightful time. And at times, I play there for my penance. We'll be right back after this song. Her Scent by Judata. back again with Mariska Phillips, Broadway actress and director, and a thespian and a guru. Mariska, kindly tell us how to be a thriving artist and not just a struggling artist.
Well, from what I was saying before, you just have to work. You have to engage your instrument in the craft, whether it's finding a monologue, setting up a camera and doing it yourself, and, you know, the reading of books. Try to find a local class. Writing is a good tool to unlock your creativity and to create characters. You know, you always have to be engaged, you know, and studying the greats. Even watching great old films, even black and white movies, great for studying. And then you want to, you know, even the Denzels and the Angela Bassetts and Whoopi Goldberg, we have some great artists to study. Yeah. And that's a form of studying too. You know, you can watch a film in a different way if you're watching it through the eyes of an actor or a storyteller. You can find, you know, different aspects of it that you wouldn't normally see if you just, like, lay back with the popcorn and just, like, you know, just,
correct,
you know, chilling and,
yes,
you know. But, you know, there's always a way to study. And it doesn't require a whole lot of money. Classes, I know, can be expensive. But, you know, if there's a even, like, two or three other actors that want to do something in your town, that's worth getting a little group together and say, okay, y'all, let's just do scenes. You know, there are free scenes online that you could just go free and print them out, get a group together and practice, video them, and play them back and critique yourself.
Oh, wow, okay. I never thought of that myself. That's a beautiful aspect. Are you familiar with Concert Window?
No, what is that?
There is a program on the internet. It's a site where you can perform from your home whatever you do. If you are a pianist or a singer or an actor, you can do it right from your home, and it'll go through, and people will pay you whatever you deem your show is worth. If you want $5 for viewing your show. Yeah, it's called Concert Window.
Well, I'm jotting that right on down.
Yeah, I find that very interesting myself, you know. I haven't done it yet. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to do it in my home and when I can do it so I won't have any intrusions, because I don't have a studio, a formal studio per se. But let's get to...
Thank you for that info, though.
Oh, no problem at all. We share, you know. There's a question that I'd like to ask you, and it is about your students. What is the hardest lesson to convey to your students? What is the hardest lesson for them to grasp?
Oh, I go through this every day. There's an invisible force that shows up in every, not even just new or young actors, but I think it shows up throughout a career, the career of an artist, not just actors, but you asked me about my actors, and I would have to say, are you ready for this?
Yes, ma'am.
Is everybody sitting down? Okay, there's an invisible force that shows up that's so wicked, which is called resistance. Now, I could break that down in so many ways. It's like, well, there's this book called The War of Art, and by James Pressfield. That's another great book. And it shows how resistance shows up in so many forms, meaning that you procrastinate or you'll get on the phone, or you won't allow yourself to fully embrace a character. you won't allow yourself to become vulnerable because it feels a little too raw or transparent. It shows up in so many different ways, defiant, like, or mistrust. You know, it really amazes me. I do appreciate that an actor comes to me and they come to me over and over because they trust me, but there's still often resistance even towards me when I'm trying to facilitate greatness. Because here's the thing, when you are working towards being great and working on your instrument and sharpening your craft and your tools, there comes a fear sometimes that attaches itself with being great. If you fully step into your greatness, there's a huge responsibility that comes with that. And you have to really try to do all you can, I believe, to maintain that greatness. And when I feel sometimes, even when an artist is on the precipice of, like, come on, it's right there, right there, they'll do something to self-sabotage, or they'll, you know, it's a strange thing. But when I call them out on it, there's like a, oh, snap. Like, I'm like, I was like, are you aware of what you're doing? No.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you, are they aware consciously of this?
No.
Or not?
Huh. No. I usually have to call them out.
Huh. So you are also like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, well, psychologist. You have to actually get into their minds and train them. That's a very hard task, but I'm sure that the universe knew what spot that you're in.
I feel an anointing on what I do, on my being, for doing this. I really do. I have to pray up. I anoint myself before I teach.
Yes.
And before I do my private coaching sessions, even before I start a rehearsal, if I'm directing a play or something, I pray, because you just never know when you're in a creative process what's going to happen. You really don't. I mean, I have a lesson plan for every class, and sometimes I don't even get to follow it because things just happen, and you have to be in that moment, and you have to allow that moment to play itself out. Of course, hopefully in a positive manner. So I have to stay clear and alert and diligent for my artists too, you know. But, you know, that the hardest lesson is really about resistance and calling them out, because they can get defiant about it and be in denial about it, be defensive about it. But it's like, look, you know, I'm not going to let you get away with it.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, beloved. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. We only have a couple minutes left, but I'd like to know, what is your favorite genre? Is it drama or comedy, or does it matter to you?
Drama. I love drama. I do. I love drama. I did, you know, and it's funny, I did stand up for 4 years just to get a feel of what that was like and just to put myself out there and, you know, you know, it's like jumping out of a plane, stand-up comedy. But I do love drama. There's something about the texture of it that moves me and opens me up and allows me to share and heal. Not only I heal myself, and I believe there's a healing in the recipient as well.
Yes, indeed, beloved. Indeed. Mm-hmm. All right. So tell me now, I'm trying to run through my questions. You're definitely going to have to come back, because there's so much territory to cover. I would be appreciative if you would.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite word?
Oh, resiliency. Resiliency.
Ah. Okay.
Yes.
That's a good, beautiful word. That's a beautiful word. Well, kindly tell us your contact information. We have 2 minutes left. Kindly tell us your contact information, how one can get in touch with you.
My website is www.marishkasphillips.com, MarishkasPhillips.com. There you can find my links to Instagram and LinkedIn, Facebook. All of my links are there. You can call my assistant Wadia at 516-300-3260. She sets up all my appointments and rehearsal schedules, and she's a wonderful actress as well. And I think that which should cover it. You can email me at marishkagoddess@gmail.com. I think I've covered everything.
Marishka, I would like to say that I have had a wonderful time chatting with you about something that you are so passionate about, and we are highly looking forward to you coming back again and sharing some of your wisdom. Yes, indeed, beloved.
Thank you, Mr. Judah.
A pleasure, beloved, and we're looking forward to the next time. Stay tuned for the next show coming behind us, but for tonight, we're going to say good night and spread peace, spread love, and go visit Marishka Phillips and her acting and her truth and everything about her. You will be definitely blessed. We love you, Goddess. Peace and blessings to you.
Peace and blessings. We'll be right back.